Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
High atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, included, but not limited to, the following.
Canada's switching to plastic money. Lulzsec claims to have stolen all of the information from the UK's census, and a Newburgh man accidentally shoots himself in the groin.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare your Lulz cannons for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, June 21st, 2011. Police say a man who accidentally shot himself in the groin with a .40 caliber pistol is expected to recover. Newburgh Police Captain Jeff Kuzmicki says the shooting happened Monday in the parking lot of an auto supply store. Newport Dundee Fire Department medics happened to be inside the store and quickly located and treated the man once they got the emergency call. Kuzmicki said the unidentified man was taken to a Portland area hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police say the man gave officers permission to remove the gun from his vehicle and store it safely.
I'm sorry, how did the gun go off? He was just keeping it in his pants?
Apparently, yes.
That can't be the case, because that would be dumb.
Yeah, and it was in his vehicle. Also,
my vehicle, do you mean pants?
I just find it interesting that the fire department guys, the medics, were in the store, but apparently did not hear the gun go off in the parking lot.
Seems like his penis may have silenced it.
Had to wait for a photo. We've got a shooting. Hey, we happen to be there.
But I mean, if there was just sort of a,
yeah, I guess.
You know, he went, "Here's something, Bob." Nah, burritos.
Yeah, but apparently, I guess the guy was wrestling with a loaded gun in his car.
The gun won.
In a parking lot. Yeah.
Well, it's Newburgh. One has to make one's own enjoyment in a town such as that. Hello and welcome to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. It is Tuesday, June 21st, 2011. I know your ears are not deceiving you. This is the one-year anniversary of this fine program,
woo!
Which has jammed your head full of knowledge to near the breaking point. So it's time to dump some of it out to prepare for year number two. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. Coming up later on this hour, you get your entertainment news, also science on the march. Don't forget, coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program, the day featuring... Are any of these things correct?
All three of them.
That's astounding. Really?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Clown Watch, Job Watch, Geek Watch coming up next hour, plus a whole litany of other things. That is all coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Or you, yes, you, Be amused with the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day, like innumerable of your brethren and sistren. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Bringing you the news since 2010.
It's slightly earlier this decade.
Canada's gradual shift to slick, cleaner synthetic banknotes won't just mean that Canadians' money can stand more wear, will not tear, and for the first time, it'll be recycled into other products instead of destroyed. The Bank of Canada and the RCMP hope that once the polymer-based banknotes are in circulation, starting in November with a $100 bill, they will be all but impossible to fake. Canada has already made strides in limiting counterfeiters' ability to reproduce Canadian money after an alarming surge earlier this decade, Bank of Canada and RCMP data show. But despite the growing impression that we've become a cashless society, Ottawa says half of all financial transactions in Canada still involve cash, which means faith in banknotes' authenticity still makes their economy function. Beefed up security features on the current stock of cotton paper notes and an aggressive campaign to train retailers to stop imposters have helped bring the number of counterfeit bills found each year to 35 per 1 million in circulation. At the height of fraud between 2001 and 2004, there were 470 counterfeit bills per million, which is actually, you know, quite a lot. Down to 35. But even at 35 per million, which translates into a small fraction of 1% of the value of all bills in circulation, is higher than the share found each year in Australia, where polymer-based currency was first introduced in 1988.
And where they just kill you if you break the law.
That too.
They just take you out back and they kill you dead.
So plastic money in Australia.
And then
in Canada.
Credits. And then the mark of the beast upon the palm of my hand, without which I can obtain neither goods nor services.
And then that microchip in your neck.
Seriously, if I could have that microchip in my neck or my hand or my anywhere now, I'd be all over that. Here's the thing about counterfeiting. Counterfeiting is... Rick Emerson, attention, Secret Service, because I know this is your bailiwick. Rick Emerson is not advocating, promoting, endorsing, or condoning, or encouraging counterfeiting in any way. That's not a thing that I would do. I can't speak for Dawn. She probably does.
I might do it if I could, but I don't know how.
It's just sort of cool. I mean, because here's the thing is, like, you could probably get a job and work and earn that money faster than you can figure out how to make it, because it's almost impossible. And it's always been really difficult, but now it's just, like, mind-bogglingly difficult. So I get the sense, I don't know that this is true, but I get the sense that guys who counterfeit now, I hate to reuse this twice in like 5 minutes, but really that is just a thing. That is a thing done almost entirely for lulz. I would say that is 98.87% lulz based. It's just to see if you can do it, right? Because the government says, you can't counterfeit this. And some guy sitting at home, some alternate universe Thomas Gill of a criminal bent says it can't be done. Let's do it. You know, and then it's just him and a bunch of his dude friends sitting around just seeing if they can do something that the man said couldn't be done, as Jerry Reed would say.
Yeah, because the actual profit margin on that must be fairly low.
Oh, and they'll screw you if you get caught counterfeiting, because that is the Secret Service. I mean, the same guys who whisper into their sleeves and come get you when you aim a gun at the president, those are the guys who come to your house if they think you're counterfeiting. They showed up at the offices of Mad Magazine some years ago because Mad Magazine was putting out an Alfred E. Newman bill that could actually work in Vegas money changers, just by accident. It was the right dimension and paper, and you put it into a money machine in Vegas, and it would spit back quarters at you. And all the Secret Service guys, like, descended on the Mad Magazine warehouses because they just don't screw around. So I think it is guys who just like to be told that something can't be done simply so they can do it. They're the Kevin Mitnick of the paper world.
Well, speaking of which, Ryan Cleary, an alleged member of the hacking group behind the claim LulzSec, was arrested in Essex this morning by specialist cyber crime officers from Scotland Yard. The 19-year-old was taken to a central London police station and remains in custody on suspicion of Computer Misuse Act and Fraud Act offenses. A significant amount of material was also seized from an address in Wickford, Essex. The pre-planned intelligence-led operation in collaboration with the FBI followed claims online that the 2011 census database had been stolen and would be published in full. We have blissfully obtained records of every single citizen who gave their records to the security illiterate UK government for the 2011 census, a posting purportedly by LulzSec said. We're keeping them under lock and key, though, so don't worry about your privacy until we finish reformatting them for release.
Okay.
The posting was uploaded to the website pastebin.com, which had previously been used by LulzSec to publicize its attacks. It said the database would be published via the Pirate Bay. LulzSec first emerged in May, mounted a series of distributed denial of service and hacking attacks on high-profile organizations, Sony, the CIA, the U.S. Senate, the NHS, the Serious Organized Crime Agency, which I believe is in Britain, and security companies linked to the FBI have all been targeted. The Office of National Statistics said it was investigating these latest claims. They said, "We are aware of the suggestion that census data has been accessed. We are working with our security advisors and contractors to establish whether there is any substance to this."
You know, I two things to say. First of all, how long do you suppose it's going to be before governments everywhere just contact Turkey and go, "Remember that thing you did where you turned off the internet? How don't we get some of that action?" Like, everybody's just going to try to get, like, the one plug that they can kick out at the drop of the hat. Also, and I think I speak for everybody here, like, the assembled weight of, like, 150 jurisdictions around the world has been brought to bear on the Pirate Bay for, like, 5 years. And the site, which appears to be run by 12-year-olds, it continues to run every single day. So how is it that, like, you know, like Yahoo Mail is down every other day, and I just can't seem to get my email? You know, "Ooh, we're having a problem with our servers. Try again later." You know, and they're like, you know, they're like a $1 trillion company. They're in Tualatin. It's not like they're not even, it's not like they're doing it from a leaky rowboat in the middle of the ocean. Just no. Can't seem to stay online long enough for me to get my email.
It's passion and commitment to the cause, I believe.
Seriously.
So anyway, this afternoon, by the way, LulzSec posted on their Twitter account regarding Ryan Cleary's arrest. "Seems the glorious leader of LulzSec got arrested. It's all over now. Wait, we're all still here." So they also have stolen, hackers have also stolen personal information from over 1.2 million customers of the Japanese gaming company Sega. Mohan Koo, with an online security firm, says, "Unfortunately, many people use the same password for multiple accounts."
It's pretty important to remember here that even though credit card details were not stolen in this instance, it is personal data, and personal data has a value on the black market.
Made up accent.
Koo says credit card information.
Koo.
I just want to do that now.
Two different things.
I know, but I just, every time I look at Koo. Koo. And now I've got this Kajagoogoo thing in my head.
I was going to do a Kuzan first.
Wow. Yeah. Koo says credit card information was compromised, but hackers were able to get names, birth dates, email addresses, and encoded passwords.
If somebody uses that same password on multiple different accounts, for example, their own personal email account, then that's potentially something that can be threatened. And if a hacker or an external, a third party, gets access to your email account, there's a lot of information they can glean from that.
Is this like Neil Patrick Harris auditioning for some new Broadway role? It's a weird, pinched-off, sort of not quite legitimate-sounding voices.
If somebody uses that same password on multiple different accounts, for example, their own personal email account, then...
Is he British? Is that his deal?
Maybe. I don't know.
I guess maybe you don't hang out with it. You don't go back.
I guess.
I was trying to do like a Sega thing, but sort of like a, "We're hacked!" It didn't really.
No.
There's nothing I can, you know. There's no two-syllable word that really functions in that sentence.
A Georgia man accused of attempting to buy a 5-year-old online and then fleeing to Canada last year is now in custody of the Cherokee County Adult Detention Center.
Why not just buy the kid once you get to Canada? Why do you get it here and then you get the trouble of traveling with it, and it's like you got to feed it all the extra way?
Canadian children just, I guess, not as. I don't know.
They're sort of lackluster.
Lower in quality, really.
Well, that is true.
I only buy domestic.
That's like buying a Canadian child is like buying a Rolex off a guy's table on the streets of Brooklyn.
The kid just keeps saying oot, and it's distracting.
Yeah.
So the 58-year-old French national faces charges of conspiracy to commit child molestation, 29 counts of sexual exploitation of the child, and 4 counts of theft by taking a firearm. He has no bond. His name, by the way? Patrick Molesti.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
Patrick Molesti.
Okay.
Molesti was returned to Cherokee County by U.S. Marshals on Friday after more than a year in custody in Canada. Sheriff Roger Garrison said in a statement, "We are pleased that Molesti has been extradited back to Cherokee County to stand trial for these charges. We appreciate the assistance of the Canadian authorities in capturing Molesti and the U.S. Marshals Task Force for transporting him back to Georgia."
Well, it's like now he's just destined to be a clown. It's like he almost has to, you know.
Yeah.
But he, you know, but a clown that exists solely to stand by the side of the road and lick a knife.
They found child pornography on Molesti's computer.
Of course they did.
they believe he was trying to return to France. where...
Why would you... I mean, like $25 at the county clerk's office. You can change your name to anything you want. You could change... I mean, even Galooly is a step up from Molesty.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. You are listening to Legion of News. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes if you like. Also, as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or LegionofNews.com. You can also take it with you on your mobile device if you like, on your handheld. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm.
So, Rick Emerson, I'm sad to inform you that the next time you pick up an underage prostitute, claiming not to know that the prostitute was underage is no longer a legal defense.
Now, was it ever illegal?
I guess it was, since we have now decided that it's not.
Somebody must have claimed that it was, and then it had to go to court. Then a guy said, no, hang on a second. No.
Uh-oh, loophole. Governor John Kitzhaber has signed two new laws aimed at cracking down on sex trafficking involving children. Anyone who picks up an underage prostitute can no longer hide behind the claim that they were unaware of their age. And that also goes for traffickers who pimp out kids.
Now, what does it go? Does it go for guys who just, if you just like meet some chick at a bar and then you're getting your shtup on, and then it turns out later she's 17?
Well, this is purely related to purchasing sex with a minor.
Okay.
Which carries
if you're purchasing it with drinks, it doesn't count.
Which carries a $10,000 fine the first time and double that on the second conviction.
I think the fine is less an issue than the idea that they might put you in a small cell where you'll be beaten every day.
Yeah, I know, but that's the thing. It's like, it says there's a $10,000 fine for purchasing sex, which
so basically you are,
which implies that
renting.
That's basically it.
You are basically then paying $10,000 for the
ticketable offense
for the underage sex. You're still
a very expensive ticket, but
well, you're still buying it. You're just buying it from the state.
Yeah.
So the state is now pimping out the girls.
Right.
That'll be $10,000 this time, $20,000 next time. Okay.
Marion County Sheriff's deputies are trying to find the owner of two horses they say were found malnourished and neglected in a field near Silver Creek Falls. Deputies rescued the horses over the weekend. They say the animals were found without shelter and in an area that was 1 foot deep in mud. The owner of the property says he rented the space to a woman who put the horses there, but she did not take care of them. Deputies say both horses suffer from rain rot, mud fever, muscle loss, and hoof rot.
There once was a woman who needed a punch.
Yes. One of the animals is now 300 pounds underweight, and deputies believe she may not survive. So the woman's identity is being withheld until the investigation is complete. I say we just say who she is right now.
Be a shame if somebody were to horsewhip her.
Yes.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Well, this is a question. Somebody says, what if you... I'm passing along a question from John. Listener John. This is not me, and And when I say listener John, I mean, no pun intended. Listener John, I swear to God, that's his name, just says, what if you ask the hooker and she says she's 18?
Well, that doesn't matter. You still have to know.
Seriously, I would just, you know, we really need just to, just to have some sort of, this is really why the chip in the hand has got to happen, or the barcode, you know, so you can just scan the chick right there at the bar or at the party, or, you know, on 82nd or whatever, and just figure out kind of like what you're, because we can't all just be Kid Rock, who has a guy who stands at the bus, you know, with one of those like infrared flashlights, and looks at your driver's license to make sure that it's like state-issued ID and that you are, in fact, of age.
Yeah.
You know, most guys are just, you know, trying to figure out how they can put down a Harvey Wallbanger and still operate a stick shift later.
It's like they're making it harder for guys to hire prostitutes.
He says, oh, now you use my name. Well, yes, it's true. Yeah. It's not that even they're making it harder, they're just making it more stressful.
Yeah.
You know, and really hiring a prostitute ought to be, that's relieving stress.
Supposedly.
Really, that is when one has already accumulated too much tension, you gotta get it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's already kind of a little bit nerve-wracking, I would imagine, anyway, to some guys.
You know, can I just tell you this? Now, I have never retained the services of a prostitute, and I would say if I had done that, I would admit it. I have approached a prostitute once about, in fact, it was two prostitutes about being on my radio show. This is years ago. This is before I even lived here. This is when I was living in Washington State. And they did something. I forget what it was, but there was the city council was passing some law. It was something that I thought was stupid. It was that they're passing some law that was purportedly about one thing, but it was really about hookers. Or they claimed it was about hookers, but it was really... It was like one of those, like, you can't stand in the same place on the sidewalk for more than 2 minutes rules, because then the man can come by and ticket you. And anyway, so I was like a young, obnoxious, like, you know, kind of rabble-rousing talk show host who believed myself to be edgy. And so I thought, I'll get some hookers on the show, which my general manager was not, like, a fan of. And he kind of put the kibosh on that, as they say. But I did, for this one day, though, I was under the impression that I was going to be able to do this and that they would allow me to do it. And so I spent, like, about, I don't know, an hour sitting in my car. This sounds so much creepier than I mean for it to do. But I spent, like, an hour sitting in my car, like, staring at these women who were obviously hookers, trying to, like, work up the nerve to go talk to them and to figure out how, A, I could talk to the hookers so that they would believe me and not think I was some weird John trying to, like, lure them into my basement under the pretense that it was a radio studio, and rehearsing already in my head the story that I would tell the cops, which was in fact the truth. But if the cops came by and said, "Hey, boyo, what are you doing here?" and I would say, "Well, I'm a radio host, sir, and I believe myself to be edgy and provocative, and so I, you know, and like that I'm trying to get hookers on the air." And I forget what even, but I ended up getting out of the car and walking over. And of course, because I'm me, I just like completely failed and crashed and burned with the hookers, not unlike I do with, you know, just real girls. You know, we just, you know, each go, "Hi, my name's," and, you know, and then like she just turned and made eye contact with me. And then I went, "I have to go." And then I just, you know, ran back and got in the car and left. That ends up not being a very interesting story. But the most interesting part was me just sitting there in the car for like, and I was doing nothing illegal. They were simply and solely going to come on the show and talk about, you know, sort of pseudonymously what it was like to be Hohen in Washington mm-hmm. State. And even preparing to do that was just, I just sat there and just in a cold sheen of sweat. So I can imagine if you were getting ready to go out there and like hand a girl $50 to polish your knob somewhere. I mean, that's got to be incredibly stressful.
I would think so.
I mean, you need a second hooker just to get over the stress of hiring the first hooker.
I get nervous sometimes if I'm just going into a restaurant I've never been before.
Yeah.
So, you know, hiring someone to actually like touch my genitalia, some stranger, would make me like really, really tense.
Yeah. You get listeners for that now.
Yeah, that's true. Over the weekend on the Sunday talk show, it just says the Sunday talk show, Senator Lindsey Graham said eliminating some tax breaks and subsidies for special interests was one way to tackle expanding deficits. Meanwhile, U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, speaking at a business roundtable, says he's confident the country will avoid a deficit. I'm sorry, let's try this again. U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, speaking at a business roundtable, says he's confident the country will avoid a default crisis this summer.
That's unthinkable that people would contemplate that as a sort of viable strategy for the country. It's not going to happen. And we're going to have a bipartisan, comprehensive, long-term deficit reduction framework.
Maybe we should just take out a consolidation loan.
Is he under the impression that people are really weary, are really like walking around worried that our government is going to like default on loans and things this summer?
We're all going to come home and the country's going to be from work and the country will be gone.
I mean, like, it's going to be worse for us somehow.
Just China will be loading the country in the back of a truck and taking it away.
Like, it'll be even harder for me to pay my, like, natural gas bill if they default on some loan that's owed to the Netherlands.
I just assume the government doesn't pay their bills ever anyway. So, you know, I mean, that's like...
Are they under the impression that the majority of Americans even know that this is going on right now?
Well, here's the weird thing about it is that everybody, I mean, even I have done this where I've just said, well, you know, we owe China all this money. I was reading this article the other day that we owe China less than 9% of our debt. And so I don't know where the rest of it is owed, but China apparently is less than 10% of the money we actually owe, like, the world. So apparently, I guess it's all just spread over, you know, like the rest of the globe kind of evenly.
I always just assume that about 80% of it is owed to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You know, I figure it's all just scattered about the Middle East, and that's why we, you know, we're in such a morass over there. But I'm probably wrong because I don't know anything about these things.
That's like reason 700 why we had to just go pave over that place right now. That you talk about just consolidating your debts and eliminating them in one fell swoop, honestly.
Meanwhile, Greek lawmakers have begun a critical debate on whether to back the prime minister as he tries to get a new international bailout. Geithner weighs in.
Sorry.
I think it'd be very helpful to have Europe speak with a clearer, more unified voice in their strategy. I think it's very hard for people who invest in Europe within Europe and outside of Europe to understand what the strategy is when you have so many basic people talking.
I don't know anything about this story. I don't understand what we're talking about. I don't know how it affects me.
It's as if Europe was made up of a bunch of separate countries.
Yeah, but they're all on the one standard, though, right? They're all on the same.
Well, yes and no. I mean, they still all have their own economies.
Somebody's pointing out this is totally how the future world of Firefly comes to fruition. Because isn't Firefly a thing in the future where the only two countries are America and China and they've merged?
Pretty much, yeah.
And I forget what and that's the Alliance.
Yeah.
And which is half, yeah, and so there's a whole thing there. All right.
An Amish man who sent hundreds of sexually charged text messages to a 12-year-old girl was arrested last week when he drove a horse and buggy to an Indiana restaurant where he had arranged a rendezvous with the child.
May not actually be Amish.
Nabbed in an undercover sting, Willard Yoder, 21, is facing 4 felony counts for allegedly soliciting sex from a minor. In one text, Yoder told the girl that the proposed sex act would happen inside the buggy, according to a Connersville Police Department report. Yoder's contact with the girl began with a random text sent to her phone. When the child's parents learned of their daughter's contact with Yoder, they took control of her phone and continued communicating with him.
You know, you wouldn't think you'd go for having it right in the buggy the first time.
No.
That's usually something you do after a few years.
I have to admit, that's something that's not on my list.
No.
And now needs to be. I've never had sex in a buggy. I've got to do that.
Oh, in a buggy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're in the buggy. I gotcha.
Okay.
Anyway, Yoder sent about 600 texts, as well as nude photos and explicit videos. The parents then contacted the police. They waited until he sent 600 texts to contact the police.
Well, you know.
What were they waiting
who
for?
Who hasn't sent 100 texts? I mean, really, you haven't demonstrated any sort of a pattern of behavior until you get to at least 500.
After arranging the Wednesday night meeting, cops staking out the restaurant reported seeing, quote, the outline of a carriage-type buggy pulled by one horse and what appeared to be one occupant. Investigators
just turned into an Edgar Allan Poe story.
Investigators know that Yoder, who was busted outside the restaurant, was cooperative and walked his horse and buggy around the building and tied it to a
post
outside.
Are you making this up? I mean, first of all, so it starts off being an Amish thing, then it becomes some weird sort of gothic poem, and then at the end it's like he's the Undertaker approaching the ring for a WWE match where he's just coming in shrouded in fog and being pulled by horses.
He had to make sure his horse would be okay while he was in jail.
Are we sure he's really Amish?
Well,
he's sending text messages.
He used a cell phone, and so that seems like he's kind of,
seems like he may be Jack Amish.
Yoder admitted contacting the girl's cell phone by chance and advised that he thought he was going to have sex with her. Of course, he says he thought she was 13.
Wouldst thou weave my basket?
He also noted that he, quote, realized that it was a bad decision and he had never done anything like this before.
Well, no, because Amish. All right, well, whatever. Well, I mean, how would you... Okay. The whole Amish thing is... I mean, I know that it fascinates a lot of people, but... I mean, I have so many questions about this. I mean... I got to get Big Jim in here again, because he's from Lancaster territory. Okay, so let's assume for the moment he's really Amish, or, you know, raised Amish at least.
And somehow he either purchased a cell phone or he just came across one.
But let's stop right there with the purchasing of a cell phone. Purchasing a cell phone means he had money, right? Mm-hmm. And so if he had money, that means he's using the banking system somehow, right?
Well, I think Amish have money, don't they?
Well, they have money, but they're not trading, they're not bartering for stones or something.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious, as with the increasing advance of technology, because we're not a paperless society or anything, but more and more electronic transactions are the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering how difficult it is for the Amish to engage in commerce with the outside world, since so much commerce now is not based on paper money. And so you go to the store, and it's like, you know, I mean, like even if you got that like a 7-Eleven or something, I mean, those phones aren't cheap. You got to get that, and you got to get a phone. It's like $100. And so it's like, is he just like carrying a fistful of ones with him or something? And it's
he could have bought like a a $15 burner phone at 7-Eleven.
And Amish guy buying a cell phone at 7-Eleven be a little conspicuous?
It might be, sure.
I mean,
maybe he had a non-Amish buddy buy it for him.
I mean, that's, you know.
Maybe he hangs with a rough crowd who, like, you know, have zippers, and one of them gave him a phone. or got one for him.
I mean, it's like, unless there's some sort of like Hasidic layover on the way from like New Jersey to L.A. or something, and the guy's, well, we got to get a phone. I mean, it just seems like that's a guy who's going to stick out. Mm. Well, what do I know?
And of course, also, they have their whole year that they get to go off and...
Rumspringa.
Whatever. Yeah, the Rumspringa. Maybe he got a phone while he was doing that, and he brought it back with him. And said, I will never use this phone, but I will keep it as a souvenir. And he started going, or I could send dirty messages to some random girl, because I am a teenager, and I am ruled by my penis.
Ruled by my penis. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, it's the thing. We get Science on the March actually coming up here in just a few. Also, entertainment news coming up later on this hour. I was going to say, don't forget, coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. Today, Climb Watch, Job Watch, and a Geek Watch. By the way, a little bit of a technical note. So some of you may have seen, if you go to rickemersonshow.com, that we have recently, and by recently I mean like yesterday, we streamlined and sort of upgraded the way that we handle the login system, just to make it easier and to make it one less step. And it used to be, you know, like click the thing, and then you have to type in your stuff, and then you click the thing, and then you click another thing. And now it's just like click, type, done. But as a result, when you go there, it may not work the first time because your cache, which is a single word with no A sound on the end, your cache may need to be cleared. And I think on Macs, it's the same as PCs. I think it's that you hold down Shift and you hit refresh while you hold down Shift and refresh the page while you're doing that. But just, you know, if you get any issue with that, you have any trouble with it, you just, and that is for listening to the Rick Emerson Show archives, you just clear your cache or hold down Shift, hit return, bam, everything should be good. And it may prompt you for your login information, you know.
You know that's a different show than this show.
Yeah, I know, but I got people asking me, because people,
okay.
You know. Because people listen to this show, and because here's the thing: if they don't listen, if they're not listening to the show live next hour, they won't find out this issue until they are trying to download it, which they won't be able to do.
Okay.
Because like Cheryl's like, well, can't you just put the information on the new page? And I'm like, yeah, see, except they won't see the new page if they don't know how to clear their cache to get to the new page. Ditto with the new show, which is on the new page, which they can't see because it's in the basement of the house that Jack built. So for people who may be listening to this show live, like on their lunch break, which I know a lot of people do, but they plan on downloading the Rick Emerson Show later, if you get any issues with that, you refresh your cache, all will be good, my friend.
So it's a bit of a catch-22. They don't know how to fix the thing unless they can get to the thing, but they can't get to the thing because they don't know how to fix the thing.
Yes, the key is inside this locked valise. Mm. That's exactly what it is.
Seems like a bit of an issue.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's all. You know, and I put that on Facebook and everything yesterday, but you got any issues with that, or you can just... badger Cheryl about it. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do our science.
For the love
That's
of...
That's not
sorry,
science.
Sorry. Just for today, I'm going to make this the science bet.
Okay. It's French science.
Opa! Your science... See, I thought this was Russian.
Do I have to do it in... It sounds French to me. It sounds like guys with skinny mustaches smoking cigars in cafes.
This is Russian.
Is
this
it?
This is some sort of this is Eastern Bloc music.
Okay.
You know, here's the proof. You know how you know how you can tell? Let's see. I guess it was the first Addams Family. The Mamushka. All right. Brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com. You can go to facebook.com/SquiresElectric. You can also call them if you like. It's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. That means that making your life... now I'm going to do everything in it. They make your life easier! Which is dumb because that's actually Italian, which isn't any of the things we're talking about here. But they can install, they can repair, they can upgrade, they can help to you know, make sure you pass your next inspection if the man is going to be walking through. Have a little pre-inspection done, make sure that you're not going to get any issues with that. And they're going to give you an estimate up front so you know about what it's going to cost you, what you're going to pay. As we plunge on into the second year of Legion of News, we should reflect on the fact that Squires Electric, among many other folks, business partners to help keep us on the air. So show your support for us by showing your support for them. And write down the phone number of the website and keep it handy. SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. They have to bring you this. Your science on the march.
Well, the oceans are in a worse state than previously thought, according to a prestigious group of scientists.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to do a little...
It's okay. Hey!
Go ahead.
Hey! I'm sorry. No. Of course, gloom and doom environmental stories are so common, they're almost yawn-inducing, says this writer. But this one is different, insists Times' Brian Walsh. The state of the oceans never gets the coverage it really deserves, and a report issued by the International Program on the State of the Ocean reveals things to be more dire for the marine world than previously thought. Sure, there's overfishing and global warming and that's created dead zones in the oceans, but the truth is far more frightening, as we are at high risk for entering a phase of extinction of marine species unprecedented in human history. In what the report's most stark and shocking suggestion, scientists say that the unprecedented loss of species could be directly comparable to the five great mass extinctions of prehistory. Indeed, the panel of 27 scientists say that a combination of stressors is creating the conditions associated with every previous major extinction of species in Earth's history. Hey! All right. All cigarette packs in the United States will be required to have one of nine horrifyingly graphic images that the Food and Drug Administration unveiled Tuesday morning. In what amounts to the most significant changes to the U.S. cigarette labels in more than 25 years, all packs, cartons, and advertisements will be required to publish the new warnings by October of next year. The graphic images, including a dead man with his chest sewn up, a mouth filled with an open sore, and others that can be seen on the FDA's website, must be accompanied by text such as "smoking can kill you" and will be required to cover the top 50% of the front and back of cigarette packs and 20% of print ads. The FDA selected the nine graphics from 36 it had unveiled last year, saying it reviewed public comments and scientific literature before it came to its decision. Clinical psychologist Jeff Gardier says the image of smoking in the media has helped curtail smoking.
Back in the day, everyone had a drink in the left hand and a cigarette in the right hand.
And we liked it that
way.
And
it was fashionable. Now we do see people losing fingers, losing limbs, dying of cancer. There's nothing sexy about that at all.
If you're losing fingers, you're doing it wrong.
You're smoking out of the wrong part.
You're lighting incorrectly. I would say you're not starting at the tip.
Losing limbs?
Seriously, I demand... What is this guy's name?
Jeff Gardier.
I demand that Jeff Gardier be found and brought to my studio now so that we can find out how people are losing fingers from smoking. Is that why you're getting cancer at the tips of your fingers because you're holding the thing? Is that his claim?
I guess so.
Well, that's stupid. That doesn't happen. Even I know that.
And are fingers actually limbs? Because when he says losing limbs, it sounds like they're cutting off... People are losing their entire arms because they're smoking cigarettes.
Well, it's sort of an arm to your hand.
Yes, the fingers are the arms of the hand. FDA Commissioner... I sense a t-shirt. FDA Commissioner Margaret Hamburg points out that the labels will make the U.S. the 40th country to have picture warnings on cigarette packs.
We know from the experience in other
smoker's voice
countries that have introduced graphic health warning labels that they make a difference in terms of rates of smoking.
Okay.
Last December, we learned that His Holiness the Pope was keen on swapping his large gas-guzzling Mercedes SUV Popemobile for a suitable electric car. Now Vatican officials have confirmed the details of Pope Benedict XVI's latest ride, a custom-made M-Class plug-in hybrid based on the technology found inside the Mercedes Vision S500 plug-in hybrid shown at the 2009 Frankfurt Motor Show. Why not a purely electric vehicle, as the Vatican hinted at last year? The Vatican doesn't think that an all-electric Popemobile could accelerate fast enough to get His Holiness out of trouble in an emergency.
Well, that's just dumb. It seems like electricity is sort of a big, vast, powerful force, is it not? I mean, I think as anybody who's witnessed a lightning strike
also
will tell you.
He's got that bulletproof case that he stands in, and it's always like moving slow down a street surrounded by people. I mean, are they really speeding that thing around town on a regular basis?
No, but I guess the theory is that if there's some hinkly guy there who just opens fire, they need to be able to get out of there, which I understand. But it seems like electricity... I mean, again, I am no Joe Squires, so I don't really understand how electricity works. But it seems like if you're not able to... Electricity powers everything. If you're not able to make an engine run quickly in electricity, you're wiring it wrong.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons, though, why we haven't seen... we're seeing mostly hybrid vehicles and not all-electric vehicles, is because all-electric vehicles, just as we have them now, they do accelerate slowly.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I don't understand that because, for example... I mean, if you go to like an auto repair shop, if you go to use a table saw, if you go to use a power, if you go to use any sort of electron or any sort of mechanical equipment in any repair facility, none of that stuff is gas powered. That all runs on electricity. And yet a lot of those, and that most work tools are things that rotate, right?
Well, also the Pope Mobile is an armored vehicle. And so to create a power pack that's large enough.
A power pack.
Well, yeah, that's what it is. It's a power pack, a battery pack that's large enough and powerful enough to accelerate a car that heavy quickly, because the Pope Mobile is going to be, it's going to be heavy. It's not just a car. It's an armored car.
Hey, this will surprise you. Apparently, we're wrong about this. Somebody says, a really high-powered electric vehicle would actually accelerate faster than a gas vehicle. Acceleration is not the issue. It would have no range because the expenditure of electricity would be such that it would run out of juice too quickly.
Okay, then.
So that it would accelerate quickly, but that it would not be able to maintain that speed, that it would lose velocity quickly as well.
And actually, the person who wrote this piece for, I think it was for Discovery News, did say that they think it would be entirely possible to engineer an all-electric armored car with four-wheel electric drive, complete with enough torque to accelerate away from an incident quickly and
safely.
That's
right. That's Rick Emerson who said
that
first.
So even the Discovery people believe. They said the real reason for a plug-in hybrid rather than a pure electric vehicle lies not with the Vatican, but with Mercedes, who is the automaker of choice for recent papal vehicles. The Vatican does not pay for vehicles, which means Mercedes has to foot the bill for anything it develops for the Pope. So they think, the person who wrote this piece thinks that Mercedes is reluctant to spend money developing a drivetrain.
Well, they have to give it away. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you blow a bunch of money on something you give to the Holy See at the end of the day? You're not going to get paid for it. Screw
that.
All right.
So, ha-ha!
It's good to be Pope.
Except that, you know, you can't have an all-electric Pope mobile.
Yeah, but you get the world's largest collection of pornography.
Yeah.
What's up with your face?
And fancy shoes. I got,
no offense.
No, it's all right. I think I got like a little stray hair in my eye, stuck to one of my eyelashes.
Probably a spider egg.
It's poking me. Yes, I have spiders in my eyes. Okay, I'm done with science now.
Brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/Squires Electric. You can also contact them if you like. It's via phone. It's 503-252-1609. Do you need a good hosing over there?
I'm this close to just pouring iced tea in my eye to see if that'll
fix
it. Well,
don't do that. That's not going to, seems like that's not going to help anything. It's not one of those Arnold Palmers, is it?
No.
Because that'll sting.
No, this is just, although this is lemon iced tea, so yeah, it might sting.
All right.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll be fine.
Okay. You play through the pain, huh?
Yes. A man who drank 6 bottles of hand sanitizer while being treated in the hospital for alcoholism has sparked calls for the antibacterial gels to be better secured. Doctors at the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne, Australia, were stunned when they discovered the man had downed 6 bottles of hand sanitizer, giving him a blood alcohol reading of 0.271%, the equivalent of drinking about 20 bottles. They call them stubbies. I guess they're the little short bottles of beer. The 45-year-old had been undergoing treatment for alcohol-related gastritis when he drank the 375-milliliter bottles of sanitizer, which have an ethanol content of 66% and are routinely used by medical staff to prevent infections.
How would you even drink that stuff? I mean, it's very thick. Well, I guess it's like drinking a milkshake, I suppose.
Dr. Michael Oldmeadow, a consulting physician at the hospital, said the man was lucky to survive. He said, though, the incident was not the first of its kind. It was the most serious case he'd seen and highlighted the need for hand sanitizer bottles in hospitals to be bolted to ward walls so they could only be refilled but never removed.
I would think he'd be dead because that's like, I don't know, it's like isopropyl alcohol or something. Or it's not totally, I don't think it's denatured alcohol, but I mean, it's the kind you don't want to drink. I mean, that's the kind that'll give you the blind drunk, as they say.
Yeah, the doctor said it's obviously an uncomfortable time for a withdrawing alcoholic, but he managed to find a way around it.
Well.
But it surprised us he drank this stuff. It's horrendous. You'd think it would taste pretty bad.
Well, see also Jack Daniels. The liver wants what it wants.
A suspect in a Seattle-area homicide was captured early Tuesday morning at Horseshoe Lake Park. He was captured shortly after 4 a.m. in the park after a head custodian for Woodland High School spotted him on his way to work. Maintenance supervisor Bill Hansen said he drove by the man around 4 a.m. The suspect stared him down, so he kept going, deciding not to stop and get out of his truck, shortly after he called the police. Hansen said he realized the man in the park matched the description of the felon sent out late Monday evening through a reverse 911 call. Police said they had received information that Mussy Weldy Johannes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You going to picture pages that for me?
Pronounce that name.
Wow. Weldy Johannes. That's exactly how I'd pronounce
Mussy
that.
Mussy Weldy Johannes.
Okay. No, and on the fly, too. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you very much. That Mussy Weldy Johannes... Musi Weldon Johannes was in the Woodland area after a Toyota Camry.
Musi Weldon Johannes.
That he believed to have stolen was found in the Safeway parking lot. Crews also believe he was on foot in the area around 8:30 p.m. A search with the use of police dogs was unsuccessful. They had warned people in the area. Police had been looking for him since Sunday when he disappeared from a Seattle house where a 25-year-old woman was found dead.
Okay.
When Roy Sands got out of bed to get a drink of water early Tuesday morning in his Silver Spring Shores home in Florida, he was startled to find a stranger sitting in his living room fumbling through items on the coffee table. Sands went into his bedroom to get his handgun and alerted his wife to call 911, then detained the intruder until deputies arrived. The man, identified as Trevor Ray Lofton, 39, took a couple of beers from a cooler outside, then went into a shed and got a hatchet with which he smashed the glass to a side door and entered the home. Lofton told the deputy he was, quote, looking for a place to stay, and an unknown force guided him through a large forest to the home.
Was it his Patronus?
I guess so. Or they were calling him the Goldilocks intruder.
His Patronus was shaped like Billy Carter. I have nowhere to go after the Billy Carter joke.
Either, no.
So he stole the guy's beer, then went to the guy's tool shed, took the guy's hatchet, broke the guy's window, went into the guy's home.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
seems like in the average neighborhood, I mean, maybe I'm viewing this through a Portland prism, but you just go to a guy's house and go, I could use a beer. Probably one in three Portlanders would give you a beer.
Well, and he already had the beer. That's the thing. He got the beer from the cooler outside.
So he just needed
then
a place to stay.
Then he took the hatchet. Nah. Yes, and he was led by an unknown force through the forest.
He was emboldened by the beer.
He was set there by his spirit guide.
Okay.
And needed to find the most comfortable of the three beds. An airfare expert says this is the most widespread airfare sale he's ever seen, this one that apparently is going on right now.
Are prices so low they're insane?
Southwest Airlines and AirTran Airways have over 100 cities on sale, starting at $40 one way to destinations less than 451 miles in distance. Tom Parsons with BestFares.com says this is the best sale of the year.
But then wherever you go, you're just stuck there. Well, I guess you could buy. Is it the same price back? Or is it like where you go to Saskatoon and they're like, okay, that'll be $4,000 to get back to Portland?
Yeah, that would be sad if it's like, yes, it's $40
to Provo
to go to name city here. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, but Portland isn't on the list. It'll cost you $370
right,
to get back.
So you're just sitting there in Bakersfield, just going crap.
I'm fairly sure it would probably be the same amount of money.
Southwest serves about 70 U.S. cities. AirTrans serves an additional 30 cities that is not served right now by Southwest. It's probably the first time in America history that we have this many cities, over 100 U.S. cities, having at least $40 airfares.
Yeah, here's the thing. Is like, don't get me wrong. I love Southwest Airlines. I really do because I'm a massive cheapskate. But I am deeply suspicious of this because if it was the same, because they wouldn't term it a one way ticket. They would term it a round trip ticket.
Well, no, because you buy either a one way ticket or a round trip ticket. So it's $40 one way.
I wonder if the round trip ticket is double that, or if it's like, well, but who's to say?
Or you'd buy 2 1 way tickets, but the same thing.
All right.
Parsons predicts these discounts may not be better to buy anyone.
This is a $40 airfare sale, and you have to also remember they've acquired an AirTran, which has a big hub there in Atlanta, and they, too, are doing an airfare sale along with Southwest, again, both of them, for travel between August 23rd through November 16th.
I think somebody's been doing some drinking today.
I have issues with something in his first statement where he said that this is the first time in American history that hundreds of cities have had $40 airfare.
Well,
because I mean, wasn't there a time
in 1920? Perhaps.
Yeah, there was a time when that's what it cost to fly in an airplane, didn't it?
Well, maybe not though. I mean, airlines may have had like a sort of a weird, like a bell curve of pricing because it might have been exorbitantly expensive at first because almost no one did it except for the super rich. Well, because even like in the Mad Men era, you know, there was a lot of talk on Mad Men about how, what's her name, had never been on a plane before, Peggy. She'd never flown. You know, and she was like 20-something and living in New York City and had never flown. So it's possible that by the time airline travel became something that was commonly done by most people, we had already advanced enough into the inflationary age that it had surpassed the $40 benchmark. At the time when it would have been $40 by dint of the way that the economy worked, it was still above $40 because it was a luxury for the super rich.
Okay.
So that is entirely possible. By the way, your guy Tesla. Do we figure that the Tesla Roadster is not associated with Nikola Tesla?
No, it's not. Just named it the Tesla.
Apparently, though, that does just a little bit of a touching back on the other thing. Tesla Roadster does accelerate faster than a Ferrari.
Oh.
FYI. So there you go. And then splits you into a dozen pieces and makes you into a hat.
A 46-year-old woman pleaded guilty Monday to hiding a stolen mink coat in her underwear. Stephanie Moreland was arrested New Year's Eve by Bloomington police after the Alaskan Fur Company reported a short mink coat was stolen by a woman who had been in the store and acting suspiciously.
Sounds like she might be the fur company.
Moreland pleaded guilty to one count of felony theft of property. Police say she hid the mink coat in her underwear for 3 days while being questioned by police in jail.
Oh, God.
There is a photo of her, by the way. There is a mugshot.
I don't want to look. I don't want to look. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Why do you do these things?
The coat was valued at $6,500.
Now valued at 12 cents.
According to police, a sales associate accused Moreland of taking the coat, but she denied it and took off. The sales associate took down Moreland's license plate number and called police.
What do you mean she kept it in her underwear for 3 days? Where? Just at home?
Well, it said she had modified her underwear, said the police. She had actually cut the rear of the underwear out. So that from back, it appeared she was not wearing underwear and then stuffed it down the front.
I'm looking at this. Wow.
Yes.
She's a large woman.
Yes. Yes.
She looks like that thing that Bill Paxton turns into at the end of Weird Science. Okay, but I don't understand. Go back to the 3 days. What was where for 3 days?
Well, apparently she had some kind of... I don't understand this. She had cut the back of her underpants out. So they said, so from the rear, if she was standing in front of you and pulled up her dress, look, I'm not wearing any underpants. But apparently there was underwear in the front, and she was fat enough that she could stuff an entire coat the front of her underwear.
It was like wearing a G-string, basically.
Yeah, except it was an entire mink coat.
Okay. Everybody, by the way, first of all, you can see a photo of this
person
at... RickEmerson.com/pictures, visual aid. You don't want to, but you can. RickEmerson.com/visual aids. I'm sorry, RickEmerson.com/pictures, visual aids for June 21st. And is RickEmerson.com/pictures, visual aids June 21st.
I guess she also knew that if she pulled up her dress and was standing with her back to them going, I'm not wearing any underpants, they would just go, okay, lady, we believe you. Oh, my God. They wouldn't search her any further.
Did I hallucinate the part where you said that she kept it there for 3 days?
Yes. She was in jail, and she was being questioned by police. And for 3 days.
So they didn't actually pat her down or strip search or anything. She just lifted up her skirt, presumably from the back.
Well, it was only when she was told that they would be sending her to the county jail downtown. That's when she lifted up her dress and pulled out the mink coat. So I guess just the regular jail.
They went, it's fine. Just a visual.
Whatever,
it's okay.
Just,
put it, please. Lower your dress.
Yeah.
But he says, most expensive merkin ever.
Yeah.
Wow. She's hideous. I mean, really? Okay, I gotta close this. I gotta make this go away because her beady eyes keep looking at me from the page, and they keep taunting me. Sort of, guess what I have under my skirt, young lad? All right,
let's do entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Tuesday, right here at Legion of News.
Doug Hutchinson, an actor who could be seen in The Green Mile, The X-Files, and Punisher: Warzone. Married 16-year-old aspiring country singer Courtney Alexis Stodden last month in Las Vegas, the 51-year-old actor and his teenage bride released the following statement to E! News. We're aware that our vast age difference is extremely controversial, but we're very much in love and want to get the message out there that true love can be ageless.
So is that legal in Nevada?
I know that in a lot of states it is actually legal
with
if you get parental
consent.
Parental consent.
Well, so. I mean... Seriously, I mean, what are you going to waste it around and wait for her to, you know, find some guy with a dental practice?
And 71-year-old Easy Rider actor Peter Fonda married his third wife, Margaret DeVagalara, some strange name, on Sunday in Hawaii. He is 35-year marriage to Portia Crockett ended earlier this year, and he divorced his first wife in 1974.
I thought he was dead.
No, he's 71, and he just got married.
Okay.
The lawsuit between tattoo artist S. Victor Whitmill and the producers of The Hangover 2 has been settled. Whitmill claimed the filmmakers used his design for Tyson's tattoo on Ed Helms without his permission. A trial was initially set for February. Warner Brothers and Whitmill have amicably resolved their dispute, said a lawyer. No other information will be provided. Director Michael Bay.
You just turned into a hummingbird just there.
Yes,
sort of
a little
weird.
Bit.
Okay.
I need sugar. Director Michael Bay is claiming that it was not his call to fire Megan Fox from the Transformers franchise.
Yeah, because he doesn't run his set.
No.
No, he's a real hands-off kind of guy.
Fox did not endear herself to Bay when she described him as a Hitler on our sets. In an interview with GQ, however, he said she was in a different world on her BlackBerry. And, you know, the Hitler thing. Steven Spielberg said, fire her right now. Spielberg is an executive producer on the Transformers franchise.
Well, I mean, you got to imagine that it's not like those things are mutually exclusive. I think it is possible, if not probable, if not almost certain, that Bay did fire her because, you know, because she was just being bitchy and horrible about everything.
Yeah.
But that Spielberg also said, look, I wouldn't put up with that if I were you. And I'm, you know, I'm Steven Spielberg, but you're Michael Bay. And Michael Bay was like, that's right, by God.
Also, she's not very good.
Also, she's hideous looking and can't act.
Rapper actor 50 Cent is penning a book called Playground, which comes out through Penguin Young Readers Group in January. The story centers on a 13-year-old bully who decides to change his behavior after witnessing the pain he's inflicted on others. I had a strong desire to write Playground because I wanted to explore how a kid becomes a bully, he said. I drew on events from my own childhood and adolescence, but was excited to see the story take on its own life.
Okay, is this after they have to operate on the kid by cutting through the Thug Life tattoo on his stomach?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly what happens.
Right.
Tracy Morgan is trying to make amends with the gay community, making a personal apology in Nashville for a stand-up comedy performance berating gay people. The comments first came to light after audience member Kevin Rogers blogged about them. He said he was surprised by it, but he accepts Morgan's apology.
Regardless of popular belief, I didn't leave angry or offended. I was mainly just saddened by the words that Tracy had to say that night.
Okay. During his act, Morgan reportedly said the media is responsible for homosexuality and that he would stab his own son if he were gay. Now Morgan says he regrets those statements.
Well, maybe he was speaking metaphorically. Let's see.
I don't have a hateful bone in my body. I don't believe that anyone should be bullied or just made to feel bad about who they are.
Morgan says he didn't realize how painful his words would be.
He meant kill in the in kill meant, with kindness.
He meant hug, but then he said stab instead.
I
by
hurt
accident.
People with this, so from the bottom of my heart, I apologize to everybody who I offended with my words on stage.
Here's the thing: it's like I get the sense that Tracy Morgan is either like about half in the bag or just nuts most of the time anyway. And I mean, the extent to which that guy's brain is tethered to the inside of his head at any random moment in time is just so tenuous. I mean, it's just so almost non-existent, whatever sense of balance exists in him, that it's almost just like a retarded puppy whizzing on the carpet. You kind of go, okay, that's great. Do that thing where you stand on your hind legs.
Margera, the Viva La Bam guy. Apparently, he has been he's going after Roger Ebert for Ebert being he thinks not being being appropriately nice about his buddy Ryan Dunn dying. Apparently, on Twitter, within a few hours of his death, Ebert, who is on Twitter like apparently 24 hours a day, he doesn't sleep. He's just always on Twitter. He said, among other things, friends don't let jackasses drink and drive.
Snap.
Megara struck back with an expletive-filled rant on Twitter, of course. I just lost my best friend, he wrote. I have been crying hysterical for a full day, and piece of S Roger Ebert has the gall to put in his 2 cents. Millions of people are crying right now. Shut your fat effing mouth.
Well,
I think millions might be a bit of an exaggeration.
Also, you can't ask to live publicly and die privately. That's not the way the world works. So, I don't know.
Perez Hilton, who, you know, had to weigh in on this, also said he thought Ebert's words were in bad taste.
Well, the great thing about Ebert, though, is he didn't back down. Because he responded, actually, by saying that Perez Hilton may disagree with what I said, but all of Perez's readers on his message board seem to be on the same page as I am.
We also, on his blog at the Chicago Sun-Times, Ebert said, I offer my sympathy to Ryan Dunn's family and friends and to those of Zachary Hartwell, who also died in the crash. I mean that sincerely. I also regret that my tweet about the event was considered cruel. It was not intended as cruel. it was intended as true.
So there you go. And with that, we bring down the curtain on this, the one-year anniversary episode of Legion of News. So for myself, from Don Taylor, from...
Where's my present?
From our executive producer, Bruce Agler, chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa, and the man who provides our advanced technology and magic, Mr. Thomas Gill, and everybody here at the Emerson News Network. So I want to thank everybody who has been listening for the past year, and everybody who has been out there, all of our listeners, business partners, friends, associates, colleagues, sworn enemies, and so forth. Don Taylor?
We love you all. Not in, like, you know, a creepy sexual way, but, you know...
Or at least not all at the same time, because that would be exhausting.
Yeah, that would be tiring and sticky.
We love you all in the creepy sexual way, one by one, slowly, single file, starting at 4 p.m.
In the buggy.
There you go. We'll see you next hour for the Rick Emerson radio program. This has been Legion of News. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon right here at Cascadia.fm. Good day to you. I said good day to you!